some time instead. Hey, this is Dominic.
I'm Tiffany the Last.
And we're here with Billy Midnight.
Hi, I'm Billy, singing and guitar.
I'm Bobby, I play drums and I sing backups for my brother. Sunshine stays. All those warmer times in late July, when the fireflies swarm your head. Standing underneath the cottonwood, where the moonlight should rise again.
So, first question, you guys are brothers. You come from a musical family, I assume?
Yeah, we do.
Parents, my mom sings, my dad plays guitar, my grandpa played guitar. We grew up around a lot of music. Music all the time when we were little.
Yeah, my dad used to play us lullabies when we were little kids to put us to sleep. And he even wrote a song about us one time. It was called Bobby the Frog and Billy the Truck.
Billy the Duck.
Billy the Duck.
Yeah. Bob rides a horse, Bill drives a truck.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you ever play that one?
No, we never have.
I just reminded me of it right now.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely our family has influenced us musically. My dad, he's a huge fan of like country rock music, the Byrds, the Eagles, all the bands that were named after flying animals. And that definitely had an influence over us. You know, that was the music we grew up listening to. We got away from it when we were young teenagers, but then we later rediscovered it and kind of it found a place in our hearts again, you know? So. Maybe you didn't hear that tonight. It was a little different tonight. It's more Black Sabbath or something tonight.
Yeah, that was an amazing last song, I tell you. What was that called?
The very last song?
Uh-huh. Are you the one that controls the spiders?
Yeah.
Into the United States of Mongolia.
Yeah.
The United States of...
Mongolia.
I was trying to figure out what you guys were saying. I got the United States part, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's a song that compares Genghis Khan and his style of rule to the current administration of the United States, you know? Yeah, because really, if you go back and you study the history of the Mongols, it's very interesting. There are a lot of parallels with what's happening with the United States today.
The new album.
Don't Get Your Hopes Up is the name of the new album. The songs on the album collectively have a theme of state of things, social and political situation, our just times right now, frustrating times where we have a lot of opportunity to make good, but somehow we somehow take the wrong turn over and over. And then likewise, it's kind of a statement about our band too, because we've been at it for a long time. And we're making a new album and all that, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll be at the bars, probably.
The song, Divided Too Long,
yes.
That's on it, and that's awesome. And so, Finney, I don't know if all the songs are like that, but it's going to be great.
No, they're not all quite like that. That song's certainly unique and has its own niche on the album. There's another song about the Bush administration, though, that Bobby wrote called Suck Job at the Oasis, kind of about Baghdad and stuff. We got songs about industrialization and
There are environmental songs and there are like
songs,
you know, songs that are more emotional, more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, I feel it tonight when we were playing the music, like I felt there was kind of a pessimism that was sweeping over us. It might have to do with my current mood today, but we don't want people, we don't want our fans, everybody out there, we want to tune into you right now and let you know that we're not hard on ourselves and we don't see ourselves as failures. We don't want anyone to think that, you know, with the title, Don't Get Your Hopes Up. It's more just kind of like, I don't know, we're just at the stage in our lives now where we're not like dreaming to be, you know, some big rock stars, or we're not trying to be like American Idol. We just want to have fun and play music, and
very much so.
We're not really getting our hopes up for anything more than just having a good time and entertaining people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it must feel good to have this outlet when you do have these certain feelings, whether it's political or anything, to be able to express it in this way. I mean, there's no more powerful way to get your point across to music, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky that it's our outlet, because nothing feels better than having that feeling inside of you and being able to plug in and make music with your friends, and in this case, my brother, and then have people right there to reciprocate that energy and give it back to us. And, you know,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know for myself, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have music to express certain feelings or certain viewpoints that I have. I'd probably go crazy. But it's definitely, I mean, I know I look forward to playing shows. I mean, we play about maybe 2 or 3 times a month, and I just anticipate those shows so much, you know? Yeah. And it's like this exchange of energy, this place for me to just kind of let it all loose, let it all out. And I look really forward to it. It's kind of like my yoga or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the name of the band is Billy Midnight. We got Billy and Bobby. How come Billy Midnight?
Bobby can answer that one.
It was just, I mean, back in the day when we first started, we weren't thinking about it too seriously. We weren't thinking about longevity. We just wanted to come up with, when we first started, we just wanted to play like rock and roll, like 70s rock, like Rolling Stones, Some Girls, or you know, stuff like that. And we just wanted to come up with a name that sounded like bar rock. And at first it was like, I thought, well, let's call ourselves the Midnight Ramblers, you know, but that's just straight up from the Rolling Stones. And then all of a sudden I thought, what about Billy Midnight?
Yeah.
And Billy, of course, didn't like it at first. And I don't think have you ever grown to like it?
Not that much. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a name. I don't know. Don't think about it too much, I guess.
It's a weird name because it can sound very cheesy.
Yeah.
If it depends, like, on a flyer what font we use. Like, if you put it in the wrong font, it can look really cheesy, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but other times it can be kind of cool, like, I don't know, conjures an image of, like, a lonely cowboy walking down the street at midnight with wolves at his heels.
We've seen you play around town for, I don't know how many years, maybe 5 now. When did you guys join together and start playing?
Bobby, when I was like 14 or 15, Bobby had a band in high school that I was really into. I'd go watch them play. And then as soon as I was driving at 16, we made a band together where we could have practice after school and stuff. So Bobby and I started playing in bands together when we were quite young in high school.
Yeah, he was like 16, I was 18, right?
Yeah, yep.
And what about Billy Midnight?
And then Billy Midnight started in
99.
Yeah. 99, yeah. We had a band called Flux Capacitor that kind of fell apart, and then Billy Midnight. I don't know. We just had like kind of an awakening and started writing songs from a different place than we had before. We were writing some pretty outrageous music that wasn't coming from the most sincere place, and I think Billy Midnight was the opportunity for us to kind of take stock in.
Yeah,
in
it was
this,
just something more earnest and more honest. Before I was like, I mean, it was just kind of spandex rock and roll, you know?
Yeah. You used to have a person that played the violin, Jeremy. What happened to him? I noticed he wasn't on the stage.
Yeah, Jeremy's not playing with us anymore. When we started out, we were a 3-piece band. And then about a year and a half ago, when our bass player, Ben, moved out of town and we started playing with a new bass player, it was easier to teach him songs when it was just Bobby and I. So we started teaching Jason the songs as a 3-piece band and really, really enjoyed the sound of being a 3-piece band again. And so we just kind of kept it that way. Yeah. No hard feelings with Jeremy at all and how he played. He's a great musician. We just kind of liked going back to playing as a 3-piece.
Yeah. Keeping it more simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Mexico, you say you went down to Mexico and found the song. Is that true?
That's the first song that Billy wrote.
That was the first song.
Really? For Billy Midnight, yeah. And that was when we decided our arrangement. I mean, Billy basically said, hey, get on the drums and like play along to this, and then try singing harmonies to this, and then And then it happened, and that's really how we decided that we're going to play music like this, you know?
Yeah. I think Bobby and I grew up in a pretty rural area of San Diego in the, you know, in east of...
EFE.
Yeah. Out, you know, kind of near Mexico. And to me, it's kind of this mystical place of, you know, it's out beyond the hills. I don't think of Tijuana. I always thought of Tecate more so. And the song, I think I was just tapping into these ideas of this place that you can just run away to, that's you lose your identity when you get across the border to someplace new. That's where that one came from.
To say I have no regrets up to here. Come lay beside me, forget about your worries and taking my words soft and dear.
Song about Mexico, though.
That's called Friendship Park.
Oh, Friendship Park.
Yeah, that one. We just wrote that one a couple weeks ago after a trip down to the Borderfield State Park down at down right at the border where the border meets the beach. I guess.
Yeah, Tijuana, yeah. Playas de Tijuana, which is the beach at Tijuana, and then Imperial Beach.
Imperial Beach, yeah. And it's just a really weird place. There's this tall metal fence that goes down a hill, and then there's just these steel posts in the ground. I don't know if you've ever been there. Mm-hmm. And people picnicking between this fence with each other on both sides of the border,
really?
Like maybe family members
who can't
see
they
each other.
They can't legally cross over and see each other.
Yeah,
you know,
so they're like passing food back and forth across this fence and picnicking with each other. It was a really, really sad thing to see, and makes you think about borders that we have around us. And it used to be called Friendship Park, I guess, and now there's like a monument right on the international border, and it's got a chain link fence that runs right through it. And on the monument it says it's a misdemeanor to do anything to this monument. And it just seems like the strangest thing, like, this is the international border. By the way, it's a misdemeanor if you mess with this thing. Like,
yeah. Did you write the song while you were there, or after you went home and reflected on it?
Came home, actually, the next day. It was kind of a quiet day. We went down there, and we were all just kind of, after seeing some of the things transpire that we saw at the border, we saw some people sneaking across, and just this mad sprint for the hill, and we were all kind of in a different place. In the next morning, just over my morning coffee, started strumming and singing, and that's what came out.
You both really excel on your respective instruments.
Oh, gosh,
fantastic on guitar, Billy, and fantastic on drums, Bobby. So how did you guys decide on your instruments?
Well, originally I was like a lead singer in the bands that we were in previously. And then I bought a drum set from our drummer in the band Naked Jumpies that we were in high school. And I just started jamming on the drums. And it was something I'd always wanted to do. I'd always wanted to try drums. And I just kind of taught myself, you know, just kind of... We used to play, like, Jimi Hendrix songs in the garage for fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it feels good for me. I have a lot of energy. I'm kind of hyperactive. So the drums are a great outlet for me because I can just spaz out on the drums. And it just really... It seemed to work because Billy started becoming more of a songwriter, and he kind of took the role as lead singer, and so I needed to figure out something else, and then it was like, well, this kind of works, you know. It was good for me too, because I was always like in front, I was always singing in front of the band, and I think it was good for me to learn how to be a supportive musician, to take a back seat in the band and like play more of a supportive role.
You hardly,
you know,
take a back seat in this band.
Well,
yeah, but and then I got into the guitar because I was growing up, my dad played guitar all the time, and it was just one of those things when you see your father doing something all the time, you, I want to do that, you know? And as soon as my hands were could wrap themselves around the neck of a guitar, I had a guitar in my hand, and that's what I did all day long, as I sat and tried to learn how to play. And my grandpa gave me my first guitar. It was one he had, and he kind of fixed it up for me and just sat and played it. I was like in third grade or something like that, and just stayed with it. And then when Bobby and I started making music together, it was just natural for me to be on the guitar and him to be doing the drums.
And it also, I mean, Billy, I mean, he's an amazing guitarist, and it really was intimidating for me. Like, I wanted to learn guitar also when we first started out. I think we both got guitars for Christmas, but he accelerated at a rate which was uncanny, and I was like fumbling. I could barely even make chords, and he was already learning how to do to play solos and scales, and so I gave up pretty quickly on guitar. So if Billy wasn't around, I think I would be an amazing guitarist.
So you, neither of you had classical training on either instrument?
No. Neither of us took. I think you took some guitar lessons.
I took some guitar lessons, yeah. But it didn't work out.
You weren't in the high school band or anything like that?
No. We just. I think we're lucky because we.
I was in a metal band in high school. That's different, though.
We kind of developed. We learned how to play our instruments through our ears and not through instruction and reading music and stuff. And I think that's been good for us, because as a band, I think we listen to each other really well when we play. We do a lot of improvisation, and you have to listen to what other people are doing in order to do that. And I think that's one of our stronger abilities as a band, I think.
You also harmonize with each other a lot in the songs. Do you think the fact that you guys are brothers has something to do with that?
Certainly.
Yeah.
We call it, what's the word that we came up with to describe that harmony? Uteral harmony? I don't know.
Yeah.
We have similar sounding voices, but I can sing higher than he can, and he can sing lower than I can, so it just kind of works out. I've been singing with Billy this way for, you know, almost 8 years, and I feel like whenever I hear him singing, developing a melody, like, I immediately know the harmony to sing, you know, because I've just, I don't know, it's weird, like, it's just automatic now, like, I hear Billy go, I can't even do it right now because my voice is gone, but anyways, Billy will hit a note, and then I automatically hear, you know, an octave or a harmony of it, and it's just,
we don't even know the names of the harmonies.
We don't know what the hell it is. Yeah, just
sometimes Jason says, "Oh, you're singing the third or the fifth or something," and we're like, "Okay."
So now, going back to the new album that's coming out, is there any particular song that stands out over any others?
I think "Divided Too Long" is probably my the song I'm the most proud of. Yeah, it was. It was the most spontaneous recording that we did on the album. We were actually just trying to capture the sound of the drums. We had all the mics pretty much on the drum set, and I had the guitar plugged in and was kind of leading Bobby through the song. And we just got carried away, and we laid down some really good drums and a great guitar part. And then we were like, okay, well, we'll go back and re-record the guitar and put the good mics on the amp for the guitar part. And it was like, no, I don't know if we need to do that. I think we really captured some energy on that one. And the song, I think, it's a particularly personal song and an emotional song, and I'm just proud of how it sounds. It's fun when you get into the studio and you try to record something and you try your best to capture this energy that you feel when you're playing it live, but it's the hardest thing to do. And when you can actually tap into that and get it down on tape, it's really something.
So take these words to the heart before demise. You try to start.
Suck Job at the Oasis was one of my favorite experiences recording on this new album, because we took this song that started as something totally different. It started as an electronic sort of Kraftwerk song that I recorded at home, and we fleshed it out and turned it into this full-on rocking monster with really just amazing effects, amazing sounds, and it was just amazing for me to watch that song transform in the studio into something that I never knew it could become, you know?
We kind of rewrote it.
Yeah, we
pretty much rewrote it.
We pretty much did. And it was just, that was so fun for me because it just had, I mean, that's probably how you feel all the time, because most of the time you write the songs, you know? But for me that time it was like, wow, I saw this little sketch turn into something fully blossomed. So that was awesome. And
that song did turn out. It's one of my favorites too. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
They're asking questions. You can't address the facts. They're wired through your back. Your lack of brilliance, the gaps in your synapse. I'm trying not to laugh. They're into contracts, they've got some hired hands. They're into foreign lands, but in the city, there ain't no master plan. It's hidden in the sand, in the sand, in the sand. And they're sucking it down. And they're sucking it down. And they're sucking it down at the Oasis tonight.
Record this album
at Jason Toss's
house,
which is called professionally He Studios, because Jason He is his last name.
It was a great way to record because it was very relaxed. We weren't thinking about money and time. We were just hanging out with our friend, our bass player, and making music. So
it was a very long, drawn out, organic process. Just weekends and weeknights over at Jason's, and it was there was no pressure, there was no rush. And I think that when you listen to the CD, you can feel that, you know, that it's just, it was just a lot of fun to make.
Yeah. This was our first time seeing him as your bassist, and he's really good. Where do you guys find him?
Bobby. Strip club.
Is that where we found him?
Right. But Jason originally played with a band that we really liked called Rookie Card, but Bobby moved into a community in Golden Hill.
It was a community with golden paved roads.
Bobby moved next door to Jason, and when we were looking for a bass player, it was an obvious choice.
Yeah. We knew that the rookies had kicked him out, which was probably like their biggest mistake ever. Yeah. And we'd seen Jason play before with the rookies, and if you probably noticed tonight, he's got great moves on stage.
Yes,
he really shakes his hips.
No one can do a high kick like Jason either.
Yeah, he does high kicks. It's just great to have him in the band. And he really adapted to playing with us so quickly. I mean, after the first or second practice, it was like we already kind of knew how to jam together. We understood when you play with people, it's kind of like making love. You learn... You learn, like, the good places to touch someone and the bad places. And with Jason, we started understanding like how he worked, where we could like, you know, push him to play and what he could do to us. And
has,
especially me being
at bad places that we don't push him.
Yeah. He has bad spots. But most of the time, I mean, he rocks me. Like when I'm on my little, you know, drum throne, Jason just vibrates me with his low frequencies. I mean, and I feel it resonating through my bass drum. And never before, I mean, not to discredit any of the bass players we played with, it probably has to do with me becoming maybe a better drummer, but like, I feel like I just lock into Jason so well. Like, I finally understand what it means to really lock in bass and drums, you know? And Jason just makes me feel that all the way.
Sometimes love is trouble. When your love is double, if your love is tripping, you got to let it go.
And bring it on back to me.
And bring it on back to me.
The new album going to be
your headquarters for Billy Midnight's new album is billymidnight.com, which will forward you to our MySpace website.
You guys used to have a really cool website.
We did, but I got another job and I got really swamped and don't have much time
so
to maintain
it. Yourself?
Yeah, I used to be a graphic designer.
Oh.
The new album's coming out next month, July 21st at the Casbah Saturday night, and that'll be the first place to get it, and after that through the website we'll have it for sale.
Right.
And it shows.
We feel like it's a testament of who we are. In our most true sense, in our most true form. And if you buy that CD, it's kind of like you're buying a little piece of us. And we want everyone to have that special experience.
Okay, so, you know, we're Pirate Pods, so we'd like to end the interviews, if we can, with your best pirate impression.
Okay, ready?
Arr! Fasten down the galleys, my boys, and be ready to set sail. We're heading off for a treasure that awaits. That's right. Can you see it on the horizon, boys? Aye, get over here. Mop the galley and swab the pee holes. Are you ready, my boys, to set sail for paradise? It awaits us tonight.
I'm ready.
I'm not even going to try.
Guys.
Perfect.